This should not have taken me 2 hours and two laptops to get running. And welcome to the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Adam Smithy of AppleValleyComic.com, and today is a Tropecast. Today is also a bit of a Hallmark episode because today we are festless. That's right, we are doing this on our own, and we are minus practically every established Beaconeer. We don't have Mark, we don't have Tanya, we don't have Fess. What we do have today is all of the B-team gathered in one place. Joining us are...
I am Alex Heberling of Alex's Guide to a Life Well Lived, which can be found at alexsguide.net.
And I am Eric Kimball, also known as Dralmos, of Xtern.com, Blade Bunny, and a couple other comics. And technically, I'm the C-team, but, you know, whatever.
And I am... not even sure I'm on the Z team. I'm Liz Staley.
If you want to be on, you're on the C team. There you go. You're our Eric now.
Yeah. So yeah. The C team has no standards.
Oh, good. I'm Liz Staley. I do a comic called Adrastus, which can be found at adrastus.comicdish.com for the moment.
Ooh.
I said on Twitter yesterday that I was scheming.
Ooh. All right. So today's episode, due to the fact that we didn't have a newscast earlier, that makes this 175. And this is also Tropecast number 7. So 175 and Tropecast number 7, and today we are going to talk about, we're going to do a little, kind of a little versus action here. We're going to mix the format up just a smidgen. We are going to cover Action Girls versus Magic Girls. So basically kind of a Laura Croft versus Sailor Moon sort of thing, comparing and contrasting the different types of tropes that run across these two, similar with a fair bit of overlap in the middle, but at the same time, completely and totally different tropes. So I ask everybody, except Eric, because he didn't know, to do a little bit of research beforehand and pick out a couple of tropes that they thought exemplified the essence of each of these topics. So while I check and make sure that the computers aren't on fire here, one of you want to go first with one of your tropes that you have chosen to favor us with? Anyone?
Liz, you're up first.
Yeah.
Liz. I'm up first.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Sacrifice.
Yes. Yes.
Great. The C team gets sacrificed upon the altar.
C team. Yeah. C team, also known as cannon fodder.
That's what the C's for.
Operation Human Shield.
Okay. Well, how about the action girl trope, girls with guns? Since Lara Croft was already brought up, that was definitely who I thought of immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You got the girl looking like she's from a John Woo film, you know, blowing everything up and shooting a bunch of bad guys, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Always. Always. And, you know, the girls with guns matches one of the ones that I had picked out really well, too, which was the, where is it here? Don't tell me I didn't email myself. When
I know you emailed.
Oh, nope, here we go. Hot chick with a sword,
right?
Which is essentially the medieval counterpart to girls with guns. And
that was going
to
be my number three choice.
Girls. one of my favorite movies, and I know this is a terrible movie, but one of my favorite movies has a character doing both of these simultaneously, and that was Ultraviolet.
Yes.
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 I like that movie too. I don't care what anybody thinks.
Well, it's a terrible movie, but it's an incredibly terrible movie.
I never actually saw it.
Oh, it's go spend $3. Like go spend $3 at Big Lots and pick it up, because it's the girls with guns thing. There's a scene where she's walking into like the big bad's headquarters, and they've got this thing that scans you to see if you have concealed weapons, because they have like in this universe they can do like basically like mallet space almost. And it scans her and it gets to where she's got her guns, and it starts showing this virtual representation of all of the guns that she's got, and it's just forming this huge long list of things, and then it says weapons found many.
It's like, I'm not even gonna bother trying to count.
Yeah.
Just, it's a lot.
That's great. I mean, the girls with guns and the girls with big ass with swords are both sort of the iconic take a woman and give her a phallic symbol, and that's what you're going to do. I mean, it is that counterposing the very masculine symbol with the feminine appearance.
Well, yeah, look at what Yoko from Gurren Lagann, or the police girl from Helsing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huge gun.
Giant bazooka.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Yoko's running around in a bikini, you know?
Yeah.
Cut off shorts, bikini top, a scarf, it's all shorts.
Yeah. And have you guys seen Sucker Punch yet?
No, not yet.
No, it's actually one of the reasons I picked that one for this weekend.
Yeah.
The
yeah, I mean, that is. Let's take every action girl trope and put it in a movie together. I mean, that's literally what they're doing.
And
that.
God bless them.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I hope it has actual content in the movie as well. But
I have a couple of friends who saw it and they said it was really good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But so, what's the contrast to the girls with guns under magical guns?
Somebody want to hit one of their magic girl tropes? Alex, you had a couple of specific ones that are
that display my blatant Sailor Moon fangirlism. Yeah. One of mine is Power Gives You Wings, which is pretty much in any magical girl anime. And it, you know, the big power up climactic fight, you know, they'll get a pair of wings and sometimes they'll be naked and it's awesome. Happens all the time in like Cardcaptor Sakura and pretty much any anime. And it's not just a trope restricted to magical girls either. It's all over media, really.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Love wings?
I'm pretty sure giant robots get wings at certain points too. I mean, Gundams practically do it. You know, every series once per episode that are, you know, like the main one now seems to sprout wings inevitably.
Adrastus does not have actual wings. He has a wing motif on him, and I contemplated giving him wings, but I don't think I'm gonna.
It's a very wings and random stuff on. I mean, it's not just wings; it's all sorts of random things. You know, you've got the Power Ranger sort of thing, where when you power up, you get more and more armor layered on top of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of a variation on that sort of thing.
Well, you know, the show that Power Rangers is based off of, the Super Sentai, the season that just finished was called Go Sager, and it was based on Guardian Angels. So definite wing motif going on throughout there.
That was one thing I actually like averted in Garanos, since she doesn't have the wings. She has those awesome spider legs.
Okay, we're gonna we're going to lose Eric here for a minute. He's going to try and find a quieter place to call back from. So, okay. Yes, that is much better. It didn't realize how loud it was getting. It kind of creeped up on us. but yeah, the wing motif is, that's definitely a Magic Girl exclusive sort of thing. You're not going to see I suppose you might see some of the action girls do it at some point, but those are the ones that are bordering on the magic anyway.
They definitely do well in a sort of lighter and softer show as opposed to something more adult, I should say.
Yes. Yeah.
Feathers and soft and foo-foo.
Pretty.
Pretty feathers flying, etc.
But okay, so let's jump back to one of the action girl ones. Why don't I go with one of mine?
Adam, it's your turn.
Let's see. One of my personal favorite things, the designated girl fight. And what that trope is if you have two groups of people who are going to fight one another, no matter how they rotate things around, it almost always seems that you get the girl fighting the other girl. You're like in He-Man, nobody ever punched Evil-Lyn in the face except Teela. That was because when the two groups met, you know, He-Man's fighting Beast-Man and Skeletor and stuff, and Teela's the one that's going after Evil-Lyn because they're the girls. And it
that happened in Teen Titans too with Jinx. She'd always end up either paired against Raven or Starfire, sometimes both, since their powers all kind of overlap.
Yeah, and it's really interesting when you look at it, because what happens when they have to break the format also gets squirrely. Like when you have more girls than guys, or more guys than girls on one of the sides, and then usually it winds up being that whoever's left over on, like, whichever girl is left over fights the least masculine guy that there is. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's kind of...
You gotta wonder what they're trying to say with that.
Yeah. Well, I looks like we got Eric back. Hold on. Let's see what he's saying. Okay, are you back?
Back.
Okay, much better.
Is better? Yeah.
Yes. I no longer want to order a hot chocolate. What?
I still do. But I just like hot chocolate, so there you go.
I think one of the reasons that they do that is because girls and guys have traditionally different fighting styles. And also, you can't, you know, the guy heroes are usually depicted as being dumb, yes, but also chivalrous, and a lot of times they'll have an objection to striking a lady even if she is
trying to kill them.
Yes. Scott Pilgrim the movie did they combined like three different fight sequences into one awesome fight sequence that was Ramona using Scott's body to fight one of the exes that was a girl because he wouldn't hit her. So it was...
And then she pulls a fucking hammer out of her purse. It's amazing.
Yes, yes. And so that's... I think that's part of the reason that people go towards that is... because guys don't hit girls. I mean, they do with surprising regularity.
But they shouldn't if you know, you ask most anybody.
Right. And I think it may be one of those, like, lines that you don't cross even for the bad guys. You know, like, sure, I'll put sarin gas in the subway and kill everybody, but it would be wrong if I punched a girl in the face.
There's a trope for that.
This is going down to the basic archetypes. And punching a girl in the face is on the level of kicking the puppy, depending on how the girl is portrayed in the media. Because before there were action girls, the girl was always the damsel in distress. And you felt kind of bad about punching the damsel in distress. I mean, if you went to, in Mario, how would you feel if Mario punched the princess in the face?
Honestly, after that whole, I'm sorry, she's in another castle
That's
thing.
That's not a very good example.
Yeah, she has it coming, but it would feel bad. I've seen less and less of I won't hit a girl tropes. I've seen it less and less as there has been more diversity in female characters. Because when you're saying I won't hit a girl, you're saying the girl's so weak she can't defend herself, and in anything that has an action girl, it doesn't make any sense. You know, where your main character is the hero. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because this is the person who we've seen is the most confident. So all of a sudden you say, well, no, I won't hit a girl, doesn't fly. It only flies...
And usually, a segment of dialogue like that ends with the guy just getting flat out knocked out.
Yeah.
Because he didn't defend himself.
Yeah, it's now been inverted to be a joke on the guy.
It's a discredited trope, is what it is. To get some trope
speak. But that's, when you're doing the one-on-one, it's easy for them to dismiss that as being just a thing. But when you've got the group, it's still you put like against like. You put the you want to see the giant tank with the honking axe take on the guy wearing the full body armor and having the 6 foot long sword. You want to see
that's just good tactics.
Right, but and I guess the maybe you maybe instead of looking at it as being based on sex, you could hypothetically look at it being based on like what sort of fighting style you have. Like most of the girls that are involved in melee fighting of this sort are either there's a trope for this, but you know the guys fight melee, the girls fight ranged. But they're speed fighters that don't carry the giant weapons, or if they do carry the giant weapons, it's because they've got like special techniques and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's a whole mess of, it's one of those things where like, I don't think when people are doing it, they realize how horribly obvious they are. Like when they were doing the first season of Power Rangers and they made the Asian character the Yellow Ranger and the black character the Black Ranger and the girly character the pink character, I don't think they were, I'm sure someone pointed it out somewhere along the way, but I think they were just trying to get a nice even distribution of the, minority rainbow.
Yeah.
And it didn't really occur to anybody how horrible of a thing they were. At least they didn't make Tommy, the character with American Indian descent, the Red Ranger for two more seasons. They did make him the Red Ranger, but it took him a couple of years to get there.
Yeah.
But I mean, here's the thing. And this goes to the action girl subtrope, is that when you compare the action girl to the typical action boy, when you have a male character, much more often they get beat up a lot. That is the masculine sort of thing where
the male character gets beaten on in the story, where you have the female characters are usually, they're more, you know, they use defensive dodge, and they don't get hurt as much when writers write them.
I would just like to say that if anyone subscribes to that, please don't read my novel. Because my main character is female, and yeah, I kick the crap out of her.
Well,
Garen knows how to black eye for like an entire chapter.
I was just reading that.
Yeah, but I mean, and not to be offensive, that's because you guys are women. And,
yeah.
And
hey, one of the first major deaths in Apple Valley was Art's ex-girlfriend, who I dropped a castle. However, it's gone back and screwed up time, so that's not happening anymore. But it did happen for a long time.
But that's the thing. It's okay to kill women. It's not okay to hurt women. At least from the very male chauvinist perspective.
Yeah, you know? And there's also, you know, yeah, problematic images with that of, you know, of battered women and sort of making sure it's not like exploitative or sort of sexualized or anything like that. So that's probably why we don't see a lot more of that too.
Yeah.
Okay, and on that incredibly fun note, let's take a break because I remember Fess saying something about this thing freaking out if you go over a half an hour. So let's take a break. I'm going to stop the recording and then we'll pick it back up in a minute here. So hold on, everybody. We'll be right back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
Starting a new recording now. All right, so let's get off of the subject of it being okay to kill women but not to hurt them. And...
I agree.
And jump over to some light, fluffy, fun, sparkle-filled magic girl tropes. Who's got one of those that they want to throw at us and save us from the...
In the name of the moon. That is my other choice for the magical girl tropes. It's when the magical girl, you know, approaches her enemy and sort of issues a formal challenge involving a catchphrase of some kind and sort of a witty speech involving lots of puns, usually. Named after, of course, Sailor Moon's speech, in the name of the moon, I will punish you.
Yes. And
they tend to be sort of very verbose in their ways. And,
yeah, how many people, you know, I just back when Sailor Moon was in vogue, wondering how many kinky convention hookups took place that started or possibly ended with this phrase.
Oh, there's a path.
I hope there were a lot. Just imagine this with like the middle-aged guys, Sailor Moon.
I'm remembering that guy I saw at Otakon one time.
Oh, it's Sailor Moon guy. Yeah, he's everywhere.
I've seen him, but I've also seen
Sailor Moon guy exists across all dimensions and all times. Well,
there was a famous one for years that was, what, Sailor Bubba, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
The convention that I do artwork for is this big, like, fat middle-aged guy in a sailor suit as his as the mascot, and I have stickers of it that the con gave to me. I usually give them away at my table, and everybody mistakes them for Sailor Bubba, and I just don't bother correcting them anymore.
Bless you. Horribly disturbing.
I somehow managed to make it look cute, so. GlassCityCon.com, folks.
That's yeah. Cool, though. But, I mean, yeah, there's...
In the Name of the Moon speech is an anime standard. You know, it's... You're not going to win until you give the moon speech. And that's always how they start the battles and end the battles in those things. It's something uniquely Japanese, I think.
Hey, Eric, I hate to say this, but it's getting really hard to hear you over the road noise. I think we're going to have to lose you.
All right, I'm sorry. It was fun.
No, thank you for hanging out, though.
I love you.
Drowimos, the news reporter / C-team for the newscast, everybody. Let's give him a big hand as I kick him out of Skype so that we can hear.
Bye.
I'm clapping next to my mic.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot quieter now.
Yes, it is. I can turn this back up a little bit more. Okay. I think the In the Name of the Moon thing is the girl equivalent to the giant robot calling your attacks trope. It's the awesome thing that I'm going to say that, you know, this time it's real.
It is
you're
on now.
So you're in such shock and awe that you have to pay attention to it. And you wouldn't dare interrupt me.
Well, and as Onyx points out in the chat room, nobody ever interrupts the transformation sequence, which usually pairs up right with that, mm-hmm. Either right before or right after that.
That's what I love about Sailor Moon. It's like, yeah, about 10 minutes of actual new animation per episode and then 20 minutes of stock footage.
Although I do remember an episode of Sailor Moon where they did interrupt her final attack.
That's cool.
Yeah, that happened like once or twice. But
well, yeah, I seem to remember it being the Doomtree series.
Actually, it's been a really long time. That plays nicely into my... Actually, I had transformation sequence as one of my tropes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that I had for Magic Girls is new powers as the plot demands. And Sailor Moon is, again, notorious for this because every time it was a new arc, suddenly everything that she'd been doing up until then was completely useless. The Doomtree was probably the best example because, you know, she pulls out the tiara and she throws it and they just
clank to the floor.
And they just kind of stare at her like she's crazy. Now, there was a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
In the Japanese version, there was a bunch of stuff that happened between point A and point B. You know, like it neglects to mention in the American version that everybody dies at the end of the first series, and then is magically resurrected, but like hypothetically without their powers until they got picked up for a second season. And that's part of it, I think. But also it was just an excuse to, you know, freshen up the stock footage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they went from the tiara to the, what was the Doomtree special attack? Was that the crystal?
That was a longer scepter that had the classical music at the beginning. I had a song on my cell phone for a while.
Which was the one? Wasn't there one where she just like uses the silver crystal thingy in her locket as like a laser cannon, pretty much?
She did that in a couple of the movies. And like at the end of a season, she would you know, pull out the full force of the Ginzuisho, as the crystal is called.
I mainly remember that attack with the scepter where she spun around about 12,000 times and made me dizzy.
Moon spiral heart attack? Yep.
I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah, if I ever would find myself in a dark alley and suddenly having to fight a magic girl, That's the moment I'm going to strike.
Yeah.
During the intense, long ramp up. Yeah. Yeah, as soon as I hear music and start to see sparkles, that's when I pick up the garbage can and throw it.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, just, you know, cut them off right then and there. Okay, what do we got here? We've done, let's jump back to, how about Alex, you're one of your action girl ones. Those both kind of play in together, I think.
Yeah, they overlap a lot. My two tropes are Lady of War and, not coincidentally, the main character of my comic, Aranos, was both of these. The Lady of War is this awesome female fighter. It's graceful and sort of dignified and doesn't often get her hands very dirty, but sometimes does. And I mean, Aranos was a sort of pragmatic fighter, so she didn't, you know, try to be all like, ew, blood, no. So,
wait, sorry, I hate to interrupt, but, I just noticed in the chat, Onyx Sparrow has the correct listing for the attacks for Sailor Moon.
Oh my god.
Apparently down by memory. And he says, Tierra, Wand, Scepter, Rod.
Yeah, that's right. And then there was a staff too, but I'll forgive him.
Yeah, well, so, okay, sorry. Lady of War, graceful, not getting her hands dirty, tactical fighter.
Yeah. And a good example of this is actually the image on the article page on TV Tropes. It's Oren Ishii from Kill Bill.
Well, I think that men, there's a trope I didn't bring into this. But there's a bunch of tropes regarding Amazons. Usually it falls into one of two directions. Either everybody loves Amazons or nobody loves Amazons. Mm-hmm. And I think, first of all, that really depends upon who you're talking about. Because I think that that's a highly subjective sort of thing. But I think that things like the Lady of War give an out, and we're going back into like deep philosophical crap here, but they give an out for writers who want to write a powerful woman character but don't want to make her grotesquely strong. They don't want to,
or basically like, you know, a man with a vagina.
Yeah, they no mangina. They want to make her someone to be feared and respected, but they can't do it through physical prowess because there's only so many, you know, muscles that you can cram into a human body before even the guys start looking creepy. and I think that tropes like that, they give an out because that way you can have a graceful, respectful, strong, powerful, evocative image of a woman that is not somebody who has been, you know, downing the bovine growth hormones by the pint. And it gives them a way they can write a range of character that they wouldn't normally be comfortable writing. Razcat points out Wonder Woman as a
yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Wonder Woman kinda, some people, first of all, the guy that created Wonder Woman had a serious thing for bondage.
Well,
there's like authorial kink, and then there's what this guy was doing. but she's sort of a divisive one too, because there's, she's DC's like main girl that they throw at things for marketing, but depending upon who's writing her character, changes so drastically to fit whatever it is, and, you know, her size, her stature, her build. She goes from being, you know, the Amazon-esque, like, taller than Superman to being shorter than Batman and back and forth. And because she's one of the ones that again, different people have, you know, there's no ruler that you can hold up to him and go, you know, okay, nope, we need to take this down. She's going to be unattractive. We need to tone her down a little bit.
No one really seems to know what to do with Wonder Woman.
Well, I'm sure that the creator had several things that he...
Well, yes, but I mean, after he left the picture.
Okay, and what was the other one that you had, Alex? The
Badass
Princess.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much the complete opposite of the archetypical, like, princess classic, Disney princess, or sort of damsel in distress princess. The kind that can fight and take care of herself and whatnot.
It's cutting out my URLs. One of the... Here, let's hold on. Allow links. There. Okay. I'm learning this. I'm getting the controls. Okay. Disney and their damn princess spectrum. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Disney's making people who are not princesses regularly. Mulan may or may not.
Oh, yeah.
Mulan really isn't a princess, but she kind of gets included in the princesses. When they did Kingdom Hearts, they needed to come up with a hell of a lot of princesses. So, like, Alice in Wonderland got promoted to being a princess. And
mm-hmm.
Disney always leaves out the chick from Atlantis.
Oh, yes.
And yeah.
That poor
an
girl.
Actual princess. Like,
and she was awesome.
She was awesome. Yeah, she was totally a badass princess. You know, she's like flipping through the air, causing things to explode, beating people up. But she's a princess. But she's not one of the Disney princesses. You're never going to see her on a lunchbox or... I think Disney honestly would be happy if nobody even remembered that the Atlantis movie took place.
Yeah, poor Atlantis. Poor Kida.
Yeah, but...
Have you guys seen the animated Sinbad? I think it was by DreamWorks?
No.
I think I have.
Brad Pitt does the voice of Sinbad, but it has a badass princess in it, and she is awesome.
Fess is just going to edit out the last, like, 15 minutes of...
Possibly.
He's
the lost portion of the trope cast.
He's going to get to the end of us talking about the Disney princess from Atlantis, and then it's going to be snip, and these are the next words they're going to hear. So, who's some of the other badass princesses that we can... think of.
I got stuck on a trope jumping thing. Let me go back to it.
This is why I try to stay off of TV tropes.
Have you guys ever paged through the Laconic Wiki?
No.
Because you can do that. You can just go boop, boop, boop to get the one sentence versions of all the pages, and I got sucked into that last week. It was not a pretty sight.
Hey, this has got a great, if we're talking about badass princesses. Xena.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Though I'm really not sure, as it's pointing out now that I'm actually reading it, she really isn't actually a princess.
That's okay.
She called herself Xena Warrior Princess and punched people in the face enough times that they got the message that that's
You know what? You might not be a princess by blood, but okay. All right. Please don't hit me.
You're like princess by blood. Stop taking it out of my body.
It's like the Bynum character in Reboot when they're on the pirate ship. She's this big, like, hulking thing, and they call her Princess Whatever. And I think, like, Matrix or Bob asks if she's really a princess, and the captain says no, but we're not going to tell her that. Because, you know, she'd rip your head off or something.
This also cites Princess Leia from Star Wars as a badass, but it has a special classification, which is a badass in distress. When she does get to do things, like, I think she's the only person in the entire series that has, like, a perfect shot record.
Yeah.
When she gets a gun, she hits whatever she's shooting at. Which, given the amount of people who seem to just stand there firing randomly in the air, is probably a fairly big accomplishment in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do we got any other ones, or should we just start? Did you have any other ones that you wanted to do, Liz?
For Action Girl or for Magic Girl?
For either one.
Well, my other Action Girl one was the Sword and Sorcerer, which was the pairing of the, you know, either the guy with the sword and the girl, you know, who stands back and blows stuff up with magic, or the reverse. Which my first thought was Deedlit and Parn from Record of Lotus War, although Deedlit does use a sword, but she is also a sorcerer, so.
Well, yeah, it's when you've got something like Lotus War, everybody's got a sword. That's
true.
I'm just looking through some of the other magical girl tropes that I turned down, and there's some how about everything's better with sparkles?
Yay, sparkles.
I'll throw that one up in the chat here. Everything
sparkle, sparkle.
And, well, yes, they do definitely. Well, I think this is kind of the counterpoint to one of the giant robot tropes, which was everything's better with spinning. So when you have a guy and he has a weapon or something, and it spins, that just makes it the more dangerous. And I think when you have a girl and she does something and it sparkles, that's your sign to run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else do they have in here that's who do you think is just, like, if you had to pick one character that you think is the embodiment of each of these, the perfect action girl and the perfect magic girl, who would you go with?
Well, I don't know. I think my perfect action girl is probably Lara Croft.
Lara Croft definitely does have she's definitely got a fair amount of sway in this.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to go with Ellen Ripley.
Ooh. Very nice.
She's a pretty awesome action girl.
I still have to stick with Violet from Ultraviolet. I mean, can I? Okay, no, I'm going to back that up. I'm going to go with Mila Jovovich in anything Mila Jovovich is in.
Yeah, that's
a really good one, too.
Because, you know, she is a live action girl, and, you know, whatever they cast her as, if they would throw her in, like, a Jane Austen movie,
she would pull out a gun and kill everything.
Yeah, there would be explosions. And
although I've noticed something about Mila Jovovich movies, she has to be naked at, like, the beginning and end of everything. Anybody else ever notice that?
I probably.
There's probably reasons for that.
Well, it must be in her contract. Must be naked, you know.
Well, see, and the thing is, you got to wonder, is that someone else requesting that, or is that her requesting that?
It's like, if I had to cast the main character for my book, I would cast Mila Jovovich, but I'd be like, look, this character would not get naked, okay? There's going to be no naked.
I would definitely go with her as the pinnacle of action girl girliness. Now let's see. On the other hand, I'm going to take a guess for Alex here and go Sailor Moon.
Yep.
For the magical girl. There was actually a, I don't know if it ever made it to the United States. I saw it like 15 years ago as a fan sub at an anime club. And it was Aku something Cha-Cha. And it was like Little Red Riding Hood, but all sorts of horribly wrong. And
I know what you're talking about. I've never seen it. I've heard of it.
Yeah, and it was...
I think my boyfriend has a copy of that on like VHS or something.
There was every episode, like she had all of the characters were young, like first or second grade, but she could transform into like a teenager by getting like, she had one of three magical items, and then the two boys that were vying over her affection had the other two. And whenever they'd combine all three of them, she would transform into the like teenage version of her, who was then capable of three different stock footage attacks, which always defeated the monster of the week. And it was highly formulaic, and it probably pushed the Sailor Moon boundary of how much stock footage you could shove into an episode of something.
Akazuken Cha-Cha.
Yes.
Is what that's called.
Oh, hey, thank you, Kaido.
Yeah, I think I found the entry on TV Drops too.
Oh,
it's listed as Tokyo Akazuken on here.
Let's see, we had some entries from the chat room here. Onyx mentioned Devil Hunter Yoko for the sparkling. Tree Lobster suggested Pride and Extreme Prejudice for the Milchurch.
She would be in the Jane Austen's Fight Club.
Yeah, I like that a lot very much. Thank you, Tree Lobsters. I did not need to know that, but no, that's not the right thing, I don't think.
The one that I posted?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's definitely not it, because it's about sleeping with a series of male pedophiles
and then killing them.
Okay.
It was linked on the Little Red Riding Hood trope page, so yeah. Okay, it's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, let's see else Wikipedia. We have in there. Tank Girl. Oh, okay, Alex has a not pornographic link up. Yes, yeah. Tank Girl definitely. Though Tank Girl was weird. I mean, are we talking about the bizarre TV movie thing, or are we talking about the comic books? Because that's such a different...
Those are two different monsters.
Yes, two entirely different... Both of them action girls, but yeah. Alright, what about you? Liz, who's your pinnacle of magic girldom?
This is going to be painfully obvious, but I actually don't watch a whole lot of magical girl stuff. But looking at the list on TV Tropes, Magic Knight Rayearth was really good.
Plus, it technically had giant robots in it.
Yeah.
I see where you're going there.
Wait a minute. I'm on a podcast with two robot fans. What have I done?
Ram. Fess is going to be like, we're never allowed to have Liz on the podcast ever again.
Because we are the Webcomic Beacon this week, does anybody have any other... Normally, Fess has, like, milestones and stuff like that, but we don't actually have access to any of that. So does anybody in the chat room have anything that they want us to throw into the official record for this week's Webcomic Beacon? And while they're doing that, all right. So I said that this was going to be a versus. So in a fight, who do you think wins? Your stereotypical action girl versus your stereotypical magic girl, and why?
Well, if the action girl can get a shot off while the magic girl is getting her sparkles ready, action girl's totally going to win.
Yeah, I got to go with action girl, too.
Well, my husband's back here going, that's not how it works.
Well, see, that's
I feel like
that's
they're almost the thing. Like, yeah, the opposing forces that create a hurricane, you know? Just kind of spiraling around each other.
Because you've got the action girl is going to take the real practical physical approach. There will be bullets or swords or a brick or something.
Perhaps several bricks.
A chair leg. doesn't matter.
But the magic girl is going to probably be significantly more powerful. So I guess it depends upon whether or not the action girl is capable of penetrating the wall of stock footage that the magic girl throws up while she's prepping her.
Now I'm imagining a magic girl like wrapped in rolls of stock footage as armor. Someone draw this now. I have my stock roll footage armor. You cannot penetrate it.
That's amazing.
Kaido pointed out, isn't there a rule that while the magic girl's sparkles are winding up, time effectively stops for everyone else? And sometimes
my husband was saying that's not the way it works because time is stopped during the stock footage.
Well, you know, okay, and forgive us, Alex, but let's go into giant robots for a second. Gao Gai Gar,
corner for a while.
When he's doing his combination sequence, right, does basically the magical girl sparkle thing. He shoots out like that green tornado that he stands in the middle of. And while he's doing that, he's like impenetrable, except I remember there was at least one bad guy that punched like Galleon straight through the green tornado. Because he was immune. Wasn't that one the one that was made out of all the Gao Gai Gar parts?
I do not know.
I think...
I was going to say, do we have somebody in the chat room who has seen this?
So giant robots versus magical girls would be a draw then. actually, there is a really freaky crossover between giant robots and magical girls. Trying to remember, there was a magical girl show there where one of the magical girls is Gao Gai Gar. I mean, like, she's got the magical green crystal and I'm looking at the Gao Gai Gar reference page here to see if it's got exact which it's something Striker, Striker S, Magical Girl, Lyrical Nanoa Striker. Strikers. Yeah. I guess that was the second series of that. And there was a character named Subaru Nekijima that is she's like girl Gal Gigar, and there's actually a there's a couple of very funny YouTube videos where they've taken the Gal Gigar sounds of like the giant robot transforming, and they've edited in the magical girl transformation footage. So they've got her doing like she's doing the transformation. You can hear like the people yelling, but instead of the robot, it's the girl like putting her armor on and then doing the giant robot attacks. It's kind of beautiful. It's to anybody who's seen the one, they immediately go when they see the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see if I can pull up a clip of the video. You guys continue to argue the giant robot, or not giant robot, magic girl versus action girl tactical battle here while I try to find this, because this is...
Another funny visual I had was, you know, that the magical girl often, you know, will end up just offering her hand in friendship, and that makes it all better in the fight.
True.
And stuff like that. It's like, I haven't seen all of, you know, any of Princess Tutu really, but I get the impression that most of like the encounters with, you know, enemies or, you know, antagonists end with her dancing with them and then they're friends. So stuff like that. I definitely got, definitely, if the magical girl won, I feel like that would be the end of that fight.
And then the action girl would team up with her and shoot
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. And then they'd have, you know, ethical quandaries over, you know, killing.
Okay, I found
it.
It
would turn into a Ghibli movie.
I found it. Let's put this up here. Because this is beautiful. There you go. I just shared the link with the... Okay, Kaido asks, if the action girl makes her save versus opening sparkles, she wins. Otherwise, the magical girl wins. That's that's true.
Yeah.
The only exception I could think would be if the action girl isn't a pure action girl and she's got some... Maybe not magical girl in her, but she's got like some, you know, something upping her game. Like Xena, for instance, right? She was a human, technically, who could punch gods right in the face and had like a... I don't know if they ever established that her chakram was actually magic or if she was just that freaky good at throwing it. So if you have a contaminated action girl who still is, for the most part, the action, but has some supernatural or something, I think that gives her maybe an edge. Yes. You know, that's the time when you find out as the magical girl that, what do you mean the armor that she's wearing is actually made of like a super dense magic canceling alloy or something. Okay, Onyx says the chakram was a blessed weapon of Ares originally, and it scares me how much you know about some of these things. just a little.
That was a really bad attempt to do the Xena yell. I'm sorry. I'm getting a sore throat. That's why I can't do it.
So, I think we've established pretty much, I'm going to guess, this sounds like we're in unanimity. If the action girl has what it takes to pierce the stock footage transformation sequence, the battle is hers from the word go.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't have that, then she's going to wind up covered in sparkles and hugging a unicorn, not knowing what happened.
Exactly.
So
ponies everywhere.
I think that we have firmly answered the question of Magic Girls versus Action Girls to the best of our capabilities. If you disagree, then let's see. If you disagree, then you are welcome to say so on the Webcomic Beacon page. I always watch the comments for a couple of weeks afterwards and continue to argue points with people until they give up and go away. So, so if you have anything that you want to add or contribute to this discussion, I heartily encourage you to go check there once Fest pieces together the multiple broken pieces of crap that are left over from this podcast that we recorded without him.
That'll never happen again.
And on that note, this has been the Webcomic Beacon, episode 175, and Tropecast numero 7. I am Adam Smithy of theappleofdiscord.com and applevalleycomic.com.
And I am Alex Heberling of alexisguide.net, and you can read about my action girl at garanos.com.
And I'm Liz Staley. And I think Sarah qualifies as an action girl, probably. I'm not sure yet. She's getting a mecha. I think she's an action girl.
Yeah.
At adrastus.comicdish.com.
And on behalf of Eric, who we had to chase away so that we could actually hear ourselves with, was it exern.com?
EXIERN.com.
Yes. We of the Webcomic Beacon bid you good day.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
And we did it without Fess.
Dedication. Yeah.
You
don't need any stinky Fess.
No,
we're
no.
We're big boys. Yeah.
We are. We're big podcasters now.
Where's the button to stop this damn thing?